28, and look with me if you will. We're going to kind of jump in the middle here for the sake of time. Verse 19. Chapter 28, verse 19. It says, "For the Lord brought Judah low." Talking about Judah as the kingdom, you know, had split, Judah and Israel. "The Lord brought Judah low because of Ahaz." Remember that name, king of Israel. "For he had made Judah naked and transgressed sore against the Lord. And Tilgath-Pilsner, king of Assyria, came unto him and distressed him, but strengthened him not. For Ahaz took away a portion," notice what he did, "out of the house of the Lord, and out of the house of the king and of the princes, and gave it unto the king of Assyria, but he helped him not. And in the time of his distress did he trespass yet more against the Lord. This is that king Ahaz. For he sacrificed unto the gods of Damascus, which smote him. And he said, Because the gods of the kings of Assyria helped them, therefore will I sacrifice to them, that they may help me." Notice this is God's, this is the king of Judah that's doing all these wicked things here. "But they were the ruin of him and of all Israel." He tried adopting the gods of the other nation. Not good thing. "And Ahaz gathered together the vessels of the house of God, and cut in pieces the vessels of the house of God, and shut up the doors of the house of the Lord. And he made him altars in every corner of Jerusalem. And in every several city of Judah he made high places to burn incense unto other gods, and provoked to anger the Lord God of his fathers." So you see here what kind of king Ahaz was, right? Wicked, right? Wicked king, bad king of Judah, took and was just leading Israel in the total wrong direction for the sake of making it simple tonight. You saw the verses. Notice verse 26. "Now the rest of his acts and of all his ways, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Ahaz slept," he died, right, "with his fathers. And they buried him in the city, even in Jerusalem. But they brought him not into the sepulchres of the kings of Israel." Notice the last phrase. "And Hezekiah his son reigned in his stead." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for your word tonight, dear Lord. Thank you for, dear Lord, your people Israel. And dear Lord, thank you for the things recorded in your word about Israel that we can take and see history, that we can see, dear Lord, the things that actually took place years ago. And dear Father, that we can then take and apply and learn from these things in our day and the times that we live in. Dear Father, I pray that you'd help us tonight, that your Holy Spirit would be the teacher, the preacher, that you'd help us to set aside everything else and focus on you. And I pray your Holy Spirit would have your will and your way. Please, dear Lord, tonight in this place, help me, help us all, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We see here that Ahaz was a wicked king. We see all the things we just read, some of the things that he did, and we could take, as verse 26 says, and turn over to the book of Kings and see even more things that he did, as it says that they're listed there in detail. But in verse 27 tonight, we're not really going to talk about Ahaz, but that's where it felt like we needed to begin to lead to the subject we're going to talk about, to see the condition Judah was in, to see the place they was in, and to see this man Ahaz just a glimpse tonight. But he had a son who took over after he died. And his son's name is one that probably you and I are more familiar with. Verse 27 at the end tells us his son's name was Hezekiah. And it said his son reigned in his stead. Now you're all probably familiar tonight more with Hezekiah. At least I am, right? And we're familiar with Hezekiah more than Ahaz. And you think about what a daddy to have, right? What a daddy to have, if Hezekiah's daddy, what a daddy to have of Ahaz. To follow in his footsteps, to sit on his throne of a man who had taken and had led it, Judah, in the direction that he had led them. You think about what shoes to follow. What would happen? What would be of the kingdom when Hezekiah took over, considering how far away from God that his daddy had taken them? You think a lot of times today people take, and it does happen this way a lot of times, we know this, But that a lot of times, what do children do? They follow in the footsteps of their father, right? Especially boys, I guess you would say. You think about they follow in the footsteps of their father. And here we see that Hezekiah, by normal man's standards, we would think, well, he's doomed, right? He's doomed. Look at his daddy. Look at what his daddy did. Look at the direction his daddy led the people in. When he takes over, he's probably just going to make it worse, and they're going to go even worse the wrong direction. You would think that. So Hezekiah was, think about the background is what I'm trying to give you tonight, just for a few minutes of what we're getting ready to talk about. Hezekiah, of who his daddy was and the throne that he was getting ready to take over and the situation he was going to face. Now, if you will, set aside that just for a minute and let's talk about today. You look around us today and we've got a lot of hard things taking place in our country. We got a lot of hard things going on in homes. We got a lot of hard things going on and taking place in churches. And I use this word today, and it's a word probably that's overused, I guess, to a point, but the word is crisis. You think about today, there's a lot of crises going on around us. Amen? You think about our national debt as a country. That's a crisis. Amen? A lot of people don't want to admit that. They ignore it like it's not even there. But that's a crisis to see how much debt we're in. I think about the situation with Korea. Hopefully that's getting ready to get better, but that's still on the brink of a very bad crisis. Amen? You look at some of the other wars and different things that's going on out there, and there's a lot of crises that's taking place around us today in our country from that perspective. But when it comes to a spiritual perspective, there's a lot of crises out there too today, isn't there? You think about the crisis of the church. You think about the crisis of a lot of churches that's out there today, and the way people's just turning away from God, and the way churches are, in my mind, turning away from God and the things of Scripture. Instead, they're following the ways and the things of the world. Amen? And they're following the worldly things, going against the stuff that God has said in His Word. And you think about, we're just in a crisis in our country. Well, I want to talk to you tonight simply about four crises that Hezekiah faced in his life. Four crises that Hezekiah faced in his life. And as we look at each of these four crises, these four main events, I would say tonight, that Hezekiah faced in his life, these crises, and see how he reacted and what he did in each of these situations, I think that how he reacted and what he did, we can learn some things from him. Whether it be learn, okay, we need to do what Hezekiah did, or learn, okay, we don't need to do what Hezekiah did. If you will, turn with me now to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings. It mentions that you can see some things about Ahaz in the book of Kings, and you can, although we're not going to spend time on that. But 2 Kings 18, if you will. 2 Kings 18. Now we're going to skip ahead and look at Hezekiah and some four crises that he faced. And this was, of course, not long at all after, right after he took over the throne, some things in the Bible. This is where it begins, Hezekiah's reign, if you will. And let's see how his reign started, what went on and took place, because he had a crisis on his hands from the day that he took over the throne. And I would say today that from the day that, and I'm not being mean, I would say this no matter who was the president, but from the day that Trump became president, he had a crisis on his hands. Amen? And if Hillary would have become president, from the day she became president, there would have been a crisis on her hands. Amen? And it was because of the previous president and the direction and things was going in, and I'm thankful for the way the Lord worked things out. But all that aside, there's a crisis. And here he is, he's taken over as the new king for his daddy. Not for somebody in another party. Keep that in mind. Not from somebody that was against him or on the other side of the aisle, as we say nowadays. No. This is his own daddy that he has taken over for. Keep that in mind. And he has a crisis here right off the bat, that the nation, Judah, is in a mess. What is he going to do? 2 Kings 18 and verse number 1. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. So here's the beginning of his reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign. He was 25. Think about that. A young man, right? Not very old at all, right? 25 years old to take over, to follow in your daddy's shoes, and to be the new king. To be left with this mess that we just read about in Chronicles. And we read on, his mother's name also was Abiah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places. Who built those high places? We just read it. His own daddy. What did he do when he took over? He went in and he tore down the places that his daddy had built. Think about that. He said, my daddy did this, but he wasn't right, and I ain't doing it that way. And I'm putting it in modern English, but you're getting ready to see, he used some strong language that basically said what I just said, but in his language from Scripture, we'll see in just a second. It says he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, verse 4, in the eyes of the Lord, verse 4. He removed the high places, break the images, cut down the groves, break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made because they were worshiping it, if you will. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it. There it is. And he called it Nehushtan. Thank you. Nehushtan. Now, if y'all have a little note in the side of your Bible, mine has a note telling me what that word means. And that word, Nehushtan, it means this, a piece of brass. In other words, he said he burned it, that snake, he took and tore it down, and all these groves and all these altars, and he said, Nehushtan, that's just a piece of brass. That's a piece of metal. That's all that thing is. It's not a god. It's not worth anything. It's not going to help nobody. That's just a hunk of metal. Amen? Just like you and I could say today about some idols that people are worshiping. Amen? That's just a piece of paper, that money people are worshiping. Or that's just a hunk of metal, that bell, that statue. Amen? That's not a god. That's not true. You think about simply, he called it as like it was. He said it's a piece of brass. Notice Hezekiah, verse 5, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah. He was the greatest of all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord, and departed not from following him, but he kept his commandments which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. And he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. The same king that his daddy tried to pacify by desecrating the house of God and all those things that we read, he took instead, he destroyed all that stuff, and he said, I'm not going to do that. He said, I'm not serving him, we're serving God. He smote the Philistines, even unto Gaza and the borders thereof, from the tower of the watchman to the fenced city. So I think it's clear tonight to see that he faced a crisis right off when he took over the nation. He had a crisis. You think about, he had a crisis of choice. He had a crisis of choice. That's the first crisis that Hezekiah faced. A crisis of choice. In other words, am I going to take tonight and choose to follow in my daddy's footsteps and keep these idols and keep this false worship going and follow in that direction and lead Israel this way, or instead, a young man, 25 years old, am I going to take and destroy everything in the whole direction my father's been taking the nation and go the other way? That's a crisis of choice, ain't it? You think about sometimes in our day and time, we think about, well, you know, a person, you think about where their daddy was this way and now here they are, they're the same way. Or their mama was this way and here they are, they're the same way. They can't help it. And a lot of times nowadays, our experts will use those things as excuses. Well, that is an excuse. Amen. Hezekiah is a perfect Bible example to where he could have easily taken, and in his crisis of choice, he could have taken and been made king and said, I'm following my daddy. We're going to leave everything just like it is. That'll be a whole lot easier that way. It'll be a whole lot simpler that way. That's what my daddy did. If it's good enough for my daddy, it's good enough for me. Amen? And I'm just going to take and keep on going that way. He could have done that. But I think it would have meant the end of Judah a whole lot sooner than what it was otherwise. But he chose to destroy all those things. Think of how hard that must have been for him, a young man, 25 years old, to destroy all those things and to turn a nation back toward God. To turn a nation back toward, hey, you need to worship the true and the living God. To tear down the things his own daddy had set up. Think about how hard that must have been. And I think about, you know, it's just amazing to think about how Hezekiah, the direction he went in and the choice he made. You see, today I think about this, that, you know, life is full of decisions. Amen? Life's full of choices. Amen? And a lot of times we make excuses and reasons for, well, I made this decision or this choice because of whatever. But realize tonight that right's right and wrong's still wrong. Amen? And Hezekiah, in his crisis of choice, he made the right decision. Despite his daddy. Despite the direction. Despite the pressures that he had as king. Despite his age, he still made the right choices. You see, tonight I simply say this, that when a crisis of choice comes, you and I need to face the crisis and do what God would have us to do. That's what Hezekiah did. He faced the crisis and he said, I'm following God. We're going to get rid of all these things that's wrong. We're going to get this stuff cleaned out and cleaned up, and we're going to do what God would have us to do. Amen. We're going to turn back to the God that's delivered us in the past. He chose to follow God rather than man. Yeah, follow God rather than man. I think that's real important, that follow God rather than man for Hezekiah. You say, why? Because he had a choice. He could follow God and do what God wanted him to do and follow God and worship the true God, or he could follow man in the sense of his daddy, in the direction his daddy had led him. And you think about tonight, there's many today, and a lot of times they just go that easy route and that easy direction. But not Hezekiah. In his crisis of choice, he chose to follow God. But that's the first crisis that he faced, the crisis of choice. And we all face those in our lives. We come to a crossroads and we have to make a choice. And may I say, that choice, before we move on to the next point, that he made when he was young affected him for the rest of his life. The rest of his life, it affected him. And I think about sometimes today, when you're young, you make choices. And you may look at them today, look back and say, well, I made a good one or I made a bad one. Either way, those decisions have affected you for what? The rest of your life. The rest of your life. Hezekiah, thank the Lord, he made the right choice. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Chronicles. Back to 2 Chronicles and look at chapter number 32. And we'll see the second, if you will, crisis that he faced. He faced the crisis of choice to lead in the direction his dad was going toward the false idols, or to lead back in the direction of God. And he chose to lead the nation back to the Lord. And the Lord blessed and prospered the nation because of it. 2 Chronicles 32, the second crisis that he faced. 2 Chronicles 32, and we really could take and read a lot of verses here, verse 1 all the way down through 22 especially. But I just want to just look at a couple tonight here to see kind of what's taking place. Let's start in verse 1, chapter 32, verse 1. After these things and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, here's Assyria again, came and entered into Judah and encamped against the fenced cities, and thought to win them for himself. So here they are getting ready to attack Israel. And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come, and that he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem, what did he do? He took counsel with his princes and his mighty men to stop the waters of the fountains which were without the city, and they did help him. I want you to skip on down with me, if you will, down in verse 7 for the sake of time. Be strong, he says, and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. Notice this phrase, and I mark this phrase in my Bible and the next verse too. It says, for there be more with us than with him. Amen. Was that true numerically? No. But spiritually, that was true. Amen. Because why? He had God on his side. Amen. As the next verse says, with him is an arm of flesh. Talking about Sennacherib, Assyria. With him, there's an arm of flesh. Oh, there's a lot of men. There's a great arm, some great strength of flesh, if you will. But with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. I want to stop right there for a minute. Think about how different that is than his daddy handled things that we read back at the beginning tonight. Because when his daddy had Assyria put on the pressure, what did he do? He took and caved. He went, desecrated the house of God, hunting around, trying to find money, trying to find things to give them some stuff to get them to leave him alone. Hezekiah, he didn't do that. Instead, he said, hey, he got together his men, his advisors, if you will. He went to the Lord and he said, hey, he said, we're going to stand. God's with us. He's going to take care of us. Amen. I think about what a different reaction. And all that was because of the choice that he made earlier, amen, that led him to this place now when he faces the second crisis. He faced a crisis of invasion. A crisis of invasion. You say, what do you mean? He was about to be invaded. Israel was in a mess right here. Judah was, excuse me, if you will. As they were ahead, they had a nation that was about to attack them. They had an army that was bigger than they were. They had a crisis of invasion as they were about to be invaded by the same enemy that his daddy was so scared of. That in the past had, if you will, Israel had caved to and tried to pacify and all those types of things. But instead now, he takes and he's ready to stand up. And he said, the Lord's going to help us. He said, he's going to fight our battles. And the people, in the end of verse 8, it says, and the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Amen. And I had a note here in my Bible beside it. It says, rest in his word and strength. Amen. That's what Hezekiah said we're going to do. We're going to rest in the Lord's word, and we're going to rest in the Lord's strength. Amen. He's going to take care of us. He's going to fight our battles. He's going to give us victory. May I say today, that's the same thing for you and I when we have an invasion of the enemy in our lives. Amen. We need to realize that we need to rely on the Lord and His strength and His word, and He'll help us. Amen. That's what Hezekiah did. He said, God's going to take care of me. He said, despite the invasion that's there, I see the enemies. They're circled around me. He said, people, be strong. God's going to deliver us. And he was so, I'm going to say, right with the Lord. And the people believed this man and saw what type of leader he was and their God that they served and how much he trusted God, that the Bible said at the end of verse 8, they rested on his word. They believed him. They said, Hezekiah says God's going to deliver us and everything's going to be okay. We ain't got nothing to worry about. God's going to take care of us. Amen. I think about today, you know, what a man this man Hezekiah was for the nation to take and to say, if he says it's all right, it's all right. I know I can see them out there around us. I know I can see them coming. I know the things I've heard, but God's going to take care of them. I know what happened in the past with, Ahaz was king and they come against us, Assyria did, but Hezekiah said, God's on our side this time. Things are going to be different. He faced the crisis of invasion as he just told the people and he went to the Lord and trusted the Lord that he was going to take care of him and that he was going to deliver him, if you will. I want you to notice with me, skip down to verse number 19 for the sake of time in the same chapter. It says, and they spake against the God of Jerusalem as against the gods of the people of the earth, which were the work of the hands of man. And for this cause Hezekiah the king and the prophet Isaiah the son of Amos prayed and cried to heaven. Notice Isaiah is praying and crying out to the Lord on behalf of the people here. It says, and the Lord sent an angel, which cut off all the mighty men of valor and the leaders and the captains in the camp of the king of Assyria. So he returned with shame of face to his own land. And when he was coming to the house of his God, and this is the sad but kind of interesting conclusion. And when he was coming to the house of his God, they that came forth of his own bowels slew him there with the sword. Did Israel lift a finger? No. God took and fought the battle for him, just like Hezekiah said back in verse 8. He sent that angel. The angel took care of them, looks like took out the leaders and a lot of the captains and different things from what the Bible says here. And they turned around and left, shamefaced. When they got back home, went in, the king did, to the house of his God. And his own kin slew him and killed him. Was waiting on him. That's the power of God, amen. That's the power of the arm of the Lord versus the arm of the flesh, amen. You think about Hezekiah trusting the Lord, and the Lord brought that deliverance. When he faced a crisis of invasion, he just trusted in the Lord and turned to Him and cried out to Him. Verse 22 says, thus the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and from the hand of all other, and guided them, and I like this, on every side. Amen. God guided them on every side. He was with them. Why? Because Hezekiah and God's people was worshiping Him and trusting Him. Amen. If Ahaz back years before would have followed God and trusted God and wouldn't have caved and done the things that he did, guess what? God would have done the same thing for him, no doubt. Amen? You think about simply that when he faced a crisis of invasion, he passed the test. Amen? He trusted the Lord. When he faced a crisis of choice, he passed the test. He made the right decision and did what God would have him to do. But there was a third crisis, and I guess this may be the most well-known one that he faced in his life. Turn to Isaiah chapter number 38. Isaiah chapter number 38. The third crisis that Hezekiah faced is probably the most well-known one, and I remember growing up we learned about this one in Sunday school and different things, and I'm sure you're familiar with it. But Isaiah 38, the third crisis that he faced in his life. And I submit to you that if he wouldn't have made that right choice to begin with, these other crises that he faced in life, he probably wouldn't have had the same result. I'm pretty sure he wouldn't have. And I think about today, you know, that's why our choices and our decisions are so important, amen, that we make in life. Because later on down the road, they affect the other choices, the other decisions, the other crises that we face in our life. Isaiah 38 in verse number 1, we'll see the third crisis. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. That's a crisis right there, Brother Gary. Amen. If I ever seen a crisis, that's one. When you have a prophet, you have the man of God, Isaiah, walk in, the same Isaiah we just read about in the last portion that prayed to God and God gave him, you know, delivered him. The same Isaiah walks in and he says, Hey, Hezekiah, get your house ready, get everything in order, you're going to get sick, you're going to die. It's coming. Think about, that's kind of like when you and I today walk into the doctor and we get our test results and he says, Hey, you got a month to live. Get things ready. Get things in order. You're going to die. You think about it, that's where Hezekiah was. A crisis in his life. The third crisis, a crisis of sickness. A sickness to see that now his life is about over. It's about over. And you think about, I wondered if maybe it didn't run through his mind, well, Lord, look at all the things I've done for you. Look at all the right decisions I've made. Look at how Israel, look at the direction we've been going compared to before. And now, my life's going to be taken. But he come to this place, a crisis of sickness. How did he respond? Notice verse number 2. Then Hezekiah, probably like most of us would respond, turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord. What was his response when he was told, Hey, you're going to die, get your house ready? He turned over to the wall. In other words, he turned around where he could get just him and the Lord. And he prayed and poured his heart out to God. He poured his heart out to God. Asking God, no doubt, as we're getting ready to see here, to heal him and to help him. And he said, verse 3, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee. Here he goes, some things I just mentioned a while ago. How I have walked before thee in truth, Lord, I've done right, and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. He says, Lord, don't you realize all the things I've done for you? How I've turned Israel back. I've tried my best to serve you, tried my best to do what you'd have me to do. He said, I've tried to do what you want done and what's right. And he just wept sore and cried to the Lord as he got this death sentence issued, that he was about to die. But notice with me verse number 4. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer. Amen. I have seen thy, and I mark this word in my Bible, tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. And we could read on to see about the sign and things that we're familiar with. But you see here that he told him, he said, I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to give you 15 more years of life. Amen. That's pretty good. Amen. That's pretty good. You think you go from get your house ready, you're going to die, to 15 years. Thank the Lord. Amen. But he faced a crisis of sickness. When he faced the crisis of sickness, what did he do? He poured his heart out to God in prayer. And the thing he prayed, and I marked in verse 5, he prayed and he wept. Amen. He prayed and he wept. He prayed and the Lord said, hey, I've heard your prayer and I've seen your tears. And that spoke to my heart when I seen the words there. Because how many times have you faced or we faced a crisis in our life and we've turned our face and our heart to the Lord in prayer and cried out to Him in prayer, but cried out with little or tears too. And you may have felt like at that moment, well, Lord, where are you at? Do you not see me here? Do you not? Lord, I've tried to serve you with my whole heart. I've tried to do what's right, like Hezekiah said. Realize that Hezekiah, the Lord told him through the prophet, he said, hey, I've heard your prayer and I saw those tears you shed. May I say today that the Lord hears your prayers in those situations too. And He hears and He sees those tears. He sees them. He sees them. I think about Hezekiah, no doubt the reason why the Lord's heart was touched, if you will, as he prayed to God, was as he saw a man that had tried to serve him, had tried to do what was right, crying out to God, asking for help in the crisis that he faced, and was shedding tears to the Lord. Abba, Father, help me, help me, help me. You think about today, I'm glad to know that he sees and that he sees those tears and hears us when we call. He cried out to the great physician, amen, and the great physician healed him and prolonged his life for 15 more years. The crisis of sickness, how did he face it? He turned to the Lord and he helped him. But the last one, real quickly, chapter number 39, Isaiah 39 and verse number 1. The last crisis that he faced, at that time, that's a long name, Merodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he had heard that he had been sick and was recovered. And Hezekiah, so he's better now, amen, just like God had said. But Hezekiah was glad of them and showed them the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment and the house of his armor and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house nor in all his dominion that Hezekiah showed them not. He gave them the grand tour, amen. Backstage pass, amen, we would say. He said, come on, I'll show you things that ain't nobody, even people that's lived here that ain't ever saw and ain't never known about. Come on, let me show you all this stuff. And I can't help but think, just the way the scripture reads and what's getting ready to take place here in a minute, that it was out of pride that he did this, I believe. As he took and he walked around, and no doubt, all of a sudden it went from realizing God and God had done this and all the things God had done to, look at me. Look at where I've brought Israel to from where my daddy had them at. From having to tear down these things and sell stuff, trying just to appease people, to now look at where we at and look at all that we have. Look at where we're at. And now I've been healed and I'm all better again. He's got a little bit of pride here, I believe, that's clear from what went on. He showed them everything, the Bible said. Everything. Verse 3. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah, and said unto him, what said these men? And from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, they are come from a far country unto me, even from Babylon. No. Isaiah, by the way, he knew the answer already, but he was just, you know, testing him, I guess we might say here. He says, this is where they've come, far country, beyond Babylon. Verse 4, then said he, what have they seen in thine house? He knew that answer too already. And Hezekiah answered, all that is in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among, now notice this two little letter word, among what? My treasures. I think some pride might have been here, not the treasures God's given us, my treasures, my stuff, that I have not showed them. Then said Isaiah to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days come, that all that is in thine house, and that which thy fathers have laid up in store until this day, shall be carried to Babylon. nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs. And well, we could talk about what that means. In the palace of the king of Babylon. Then said Hezekiah to Isaiah, and this part amazes me, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. Now how in the world you could say that when you just got told your son's going to be made eunuchs? I don't have time to explain what that means, but you look that up and I don't know how you could say that's good. The word of the Lord's good when he said that. He said, moreover, for there shall be peace and truth in my days. In other words, he was thinking about nobody but who? Himself. I'll be long gone by then. I'll be out of the way. I got my treasures for as long as I live. I got 15 more years of life here on this earth. Everything's good in my lifetime. Whatever happens after me, sounds like our politicians of the day. Kick the can down the road, amen? Let the next administration worry about it, right? Everything's good for me right now. Free, free, free. Anyway, that's another whole story. But everything's good right now. That's all that matters. Thank you goodness I've got peace and truth in my lifetime. The last crisis that he faced was the crisis of prosperity. The crisis of prosperity is he had all these things. All these things that God had given to him. All these things that God had blessed the nation with. But yet he let pride get to him. He thought he had done all these things. He became self-centered, where as long as everything's good for me, that's all that matters. And I think about today, how many times has that happened too? When you and me in our lives. You say, what do you mean? I ain't got a bunch of money. I ain't got a bunch of treasures to be walking around and showing nobody a bunch of stuff like he had. Well, we maybe don't have that, but sometimes we walk around enjoying the prosperity that God has given us in our country. Amen? You say, what do you mean? I'm talking about the prosperity and having the freedom that we have to share the gospel, to witness without persecution, to gather together, to have church together. Amen? I'm talking about, all of us have got a cupboard full of food at home in the house. Amen? And cars in the driveway and everything else. Amen? And every one of us that needs one, as far as I know of at this point, maybe not as good a one as you want, but every one of us has got a job, amen, that we can go to tomorrow and work at. And if we're not careful, we'll get a crisis of prosperity in our lives that'll cause us to look at somebody else and cause us to get that pride in our hearts if we're not careful. You think about, here's Hezekiah in his crisis of prosperity. He went the wrong direction. He passed the test of choices and didn't let his family past, if you will, dictate the direction he went in his life. He passed that crisis. He passed the crisis of invasion when the enemy was around him, had him surrounded, and war was about to break out. He passed that crisis. He turned to the Lord and asked him for help. He had a crisis of sickness dealing with his own physical body, and he turned to the Lord and prayed and cried out to God. And God healed him. He did good in that crisis. But the last crisis of his life, he failed. You say, but he did good all the way up to the end. He did. But you know what? He failed at the end. He failed. And it didn't, and this is the interesting thing that I find, it didn't really cost him right there. In his lifetime, it didn't cost him. But it was the next generation that it cost. And I think about a lot of things when I think about that. You see, today sometimes we say, well, everything's good with me. It didn't cost me. But it might cost the next generation. You think about simply today the crisis of prosperity. Hezekiah was a good king. He had four crises. Three of them he did good in and one of them not so good. And it affected and brought to end the Judah later on because of that one bad decision he made in the crisis that he faced. And he didn't even realize it was a crisis. He thought, hey, look at what all I got. But what he didn't realize was that was a crisis. How was he going to handle the blessings and the things God had given to him. And he handled it, unfortunately, the wrong way, and it meant the demise of Judah. The eventual demise of Judah and his own family to be taken away into captivity and to endure all the things that they endured. Crises is something that we all face in our lives. When we face crisis, how do we react? Like Hezekiah did in the first three, or in the last? Today, maybe you're facing a crisis in your life. I don't know. Maybe you've passed some crises in the past. Maybe you failed some in the past. I'm sure we all could say, I passed some, I failed some. But what about the crisis that you're facing right now or going to face tomorrow? May the Lord help us in the crises of our lives that we face to pass them like Hezekiah did the first three. Amen. Let's pray.